Hey there, ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah, or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities. From the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front room. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.
Ooh, ooh. What's up, everybody? It's your girl, Jazzy Bell, and you are watching Woman in Hip Hop Podcast. And on this show, we focus on the many talents and influences for women in hip hop. And today, I'm so excited. It is no exception. As you can see, I'm here with one of the queens of hip hop that paved the way for all the ladies that's doing it in the game today. My girl, straight from L.A., I was gonna say
Kilo. Right. You can't play with my yo yo. Yo, yo, yo.
Don't try to play me out. Hey,
yo.
We got yo yo in the building. What's up, yo yo?
What's up,
First of all, we here at the 2017 Black College Expo, and we have Megan Evers College in Brooklyn, and yo yo just taught a dope seminar to kids and teaching them how to.
Get A's in English through hip-hop.
Say that one more time for me.
Get A's in English through hip-hop. It's an essay writing program.
Yes, yes. But before we get into all of that, we got to discuss hip-hop first, of course. You already know this show. Mm-hmm. I like to bring my audience in and let them know the background of every guest that I have on here. I like for them to know like the humble beginnings, and we can just briefly skip through that and obviously get to what you're doing today.
Okay.
So talk to me about Yo-Yo and how she started getting in the game.
Well, I started in hip hop around junior high school, just loving music, performed in a lot of talent shows. It wasn't really for women at the time, so of course, it was just something I love to do. I've always been an entertainer. I think I've always been in the arts, sports, you name it. Mm-hmm. And hip-hop clicked. Ice Cube was leaving NWA looking for a female artist. I was the best on the West. They couldn't touch me.
And, how did he find you?
Through one of his friends that he grew up with, who went to school with me, told him about me. And we got together and we started making music.
I like the
people. T-Bone. Okay. T-Bone of the Lynch Mob, yes, shouted me out to Ice Cube, and Ice Cube came over, we met, and before long we were making music in his mom's house.
Wow. I know. So did you basically just spit for him, and that's
what? Well, you know what, I kind of had a following. We had from, you know, in Los Angeles, we had a lot of successful people come from our school as well, but we had like Star Search and Solid Gold, and we always have talent shows, and I did a lot of shows around. A lot of people knew who we were. We called ourselves the Deaf City Girls. Okay. So we'd go around and everyone would, you know, sing our, we performed, the whole audience would know our music and, you know, sing it along with us. So we had like a small following.
How many of you guys were there?
It was three of us. Okay. When we started.
And what's the name of the high school?
Washington High School. Okay. Washington Prep High School. And it was three of us when we started. It trickled down to two. Okay. And then by the time I met Ice Cube, it was only I.
He snatched you up.
Snatched me up. No, you don't want the group. What you want to do? It's you or you want the group? We only want you.
Is that pretty much what gave you the ultimatum?
No, you know, because it wasn't for, hip hop wasn't for girls, you know. In high school, you know, the women wanted the Gucci boots, they wanted the Gucci bags, and here I was at lunchtime battling dudes.
Wow.
On the quad.
Wow.
I know, right?
How did you get your love for hip hop? Who were some of the women prior to you that you looked
Oh,
to?
God, Roxanne Shanté. I love Roxanne Shanté. Salt and Pepper. I love Salt and Pepper. Of course, I came up with Queen and La. We were around the same times. But, so many women from those times. I just drew a blank on my girl, and now she sings.
Now she sings?
She had the group, oh God, they're gonna kill me.
Angie Stone.
Stone.
I got you, yes.
Yes! You know, Angie B.
Angie.
Woo! What? You know, so
a lot of people give her that credit that she was one of the ones that paved the way. She was in the group. The group was.
Yeah.
Now I feel bad, but yes.
What's that?
I know they wore glitter and all
that. Sequence.
There you go, see? I knew it was glitter. We break a good team.
I know, right?
Yes.
So that's how I pretty much started. And I just love doing music. I'm a clown anyway, so I love performing and all of that good stuff. But hip hop clicked for me.
Yeah. So when you linked up with Ice Cube, one of the first records that y'all did that was huge was on his album, America's Most Wanted.
It's a Man's World.
Exactly.
It's a Man's World, yeah.
Talk to me about that record.
Well, It's a Man's World was, you know, because getting to know Ice Cube, he said, okay, yeah, I'm working on my album. I want you to come in and be a part of It's a Man's World. And it was really like an introduction. It was really just like an introduction. It really was it was big for me, you know. Cube was big, well, NWA was really big, especially in Los Angeles, mm-hmm. you know. And when I found that Cube was the writer and he was like the meat of the group,
yeah,
I was excited to be a part of it and looking forward to, you know, going to New York and working on my own project. So mm-hmm. I was excited.
So after doing that record, I always read that it was like a favorite for a favorite, which sounds like, I don't like to say that because y'all are a unit.
Right.
So as far as you doing It's a Man's World and then him getting on your iconic hit, Play With My Yo-Yo.
Well, you know what? We wrote that song together at his mom's house. We were writing and he came. I'll never forget. We were writing and he told my kid, I used to go over his house and he came in. He was like, oh my God, you'll never, I wrote this song. And he was, you know, and I was like, what? He was like, yeah. So we were in the hallway and he just was like, you know, my name is Yo-Yo, I'm not a ho, no. And I was like, oh! You know, and he was like, I like to flow so swift, it's got to be a gift. So yeah,
yes.
So the beginning of it, he wrote it and he was like, and then the hook will say, you can't play with my Yo-Yo.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, you know, so he was all excited about it. And we went on just to write together. You know, he wrote the idea and the introduction of the song.
And he pretty
and,
much finished it.
Yeah, we finished it together. Yeah. Cube was really instrumental in my career before. I had no writer's help when I was just doing it on my own and trying to get in. But once I got in with Cube, he was so creative. He would get off the plane and he like, oh my God, I got something for you. And you know, I have to tell him, like, hold up, don't you know, you're not writing all my stuff, are you? But we love to write and we wrote together a lot. And really, he just gave me ideas because my music, when I, you know, fresh out of high school, was on a basic level. Mm. And so him, who had already been in the industry, was trying to always, and we fought about it a lot, you know, because I thought that maybe he was trying to be too controlling over my music, but
now you look at it now.
I learned during the process that it was just him lifting me up, saying, okay, you know, your raps are basic. You need to make it universal. We need everybody.
What the kids call leveling up rap, right?
Exactly,
now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you know, always a great guy still to this day.
Yeah, I see that y'all stay in touch. I saw that you were just on
Hip Hop Squares. Yes. Yeah. Well, Cube, you know, it's been a while. When you grew up with someone, mm-hmm. I think we did have a separation side where it was like, okay, let me stand on my own. Mm-hmm. You know, Cube got married and moved on and, you know, broke away from all the cliques and everyone who, you know, the lynch mob and all the other artists that he was working with so that he can focus on him. Because, you know, after a while, an art, you know, because he was mature and I don't think he needed a tag team so much. So, you know, we all went our separate ways, but it's good that we all, you know, stay in touch and, you know,
I love that.
Can still eat off of each other's plate.
Yeah. How do you, what were your finest moments? Because now that I'm thinking about that time, it was so fresh.
Right.
And it was so much fun.
Yeah.
And I just feel like that was the best era of hip hop so far. Because
right.
I feel like hip hop is going to be everlasting.
Right.
What are your finest moments from back then?
My fondest moment is when, you know, they had the East Coast and West Coast beef, you know, it was the feud of who started hip hop, you know, whether the West Coast started it, whether the East Coast started. And when I came out with Ice Cube, there was just this big hype. Cube was working with Public Enemy and we were doing a lot of work on the East Coast. I, you know, came to the East Coast to get my deal with Sylvia Rome. And so we did the Apollo. And with all that beef going, we didn't know how it was. So it was like, it was an uneasy feeling of, you know, Ice Cube and the lynch mob. And he was introducing Yo-Yo to the East Coast. It was kind of like a scary thing for me. But we got on there, and I'm telling you, the energy of Ice Cube and I mean, it was the most memorable moment of hip hop for me, because, you know, I had never seen people in the audience throw money on the stage.
Wow.
You know, it was just so dope. I was like,
especially
wow.
At the height of that.
Oh, it was so dope. We did two shows back to back, and I mean, historic.
Yeah, see? East Coast got love for the West.
I know, right? Brought love to the
West. Now, how do you feel about the current state of hip hop for females?
Well, you know what? I think, you know, they're widening the spectrum. You know, they're opening the door for more women to be creative, and you know, it's always a.
Hey there! Ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah. Or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again, because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities, from the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front row. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.
Down thing, but I love to always give credit. I do have my opinions about, you know, certain things in hip hop that I wish I could be a big sister to the women, some women in hip hop. Well, I you know, like a lot of women don't have to go through the struggles we went through if they allow old school hip hop, which they consider old school hip hop, which were legends in the game, to really share their stories. Because when I got in the industry, I thought that I was going to have more support. I thought that I was going to have more sisterhood, and people would kind of guide you through. Because, you know, it's an industry that you know nothing about, coming straight from high school.
And it's not dominated.
Yeah, and thrown into a world of music, not really understanding what's the demo. I mean, you know, how powerful hip-hop was becoming at that time. And not really having the leadership. You know, you said you didn't want to fall into the temptation era where you have to work your whole life, or you thought that. You thought, you know, because you can make so much money, but without guidance and leadership, you know, you make a lot of wrong choices and wrong decisions. And I wish that I could have more of an impact of a big sister role.
Why do you feel like you don't?
Oh, well, because, you know...
are the women not receptive of it? Do you feel...
No, I just feel like we're in two different worlds. I think, you know, we don't really mesh with the new school, and the new school rarely mesh with the older hip-hop legends who's been in the game. I mean, you do cross. I see Trina and them cross a little bit, Eve and them, but on a friendship level, me, because I'm a teacher and I'm always wanting to, you know, give more advice and stuff like that. That's just my you know, my take on it.
Yeah.
But they do mesh, but just not, maybe I just don't get out enough.
Maybe. I was about to say, because I really think with your personality, you're so warming and you're so down to earth.
Yeah, you know what? I think, I see a lot of stuff that, you know, like, you know, I want to tell, you know, some of the women, you know, even the young girls, you know, You don't have to follow every trend, and you know, and although this, you know, this whorish rap is just so popular right now, you don't just have to follow that whorish trend, because you want to have longevity, and you got to start figuring out a way out now, because you have to set a foundation for yourself. Music, it will take you so far, but then you have to. You get to a place where you have to transition, and we all transition in life. And you want them to be able to transition easy, but you have to start setting that up now. And I didn't know that, and I want to tell them, you have to start setting that up now. You know, some people who've done PR for forever, you know, they get out of PR from doing it for 26 years, and they're like, what am I going to do now? You know, not really having set something up, but work for a major label their whole career. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the same thing with artists. You know, they come now and say, well, yo, what do I do? How do I get it? And, you know, some of them are looking for their royalties. Now it's 26 years later. Yes. And they're like, well, you know, they want information. But, you know, so if you start early, getting your stuff in track, asking questions, you know, I want to tell you, those budgets. It looks pretty, you know, when you're impressing people, telling them you're spending, you know, you're riding around and all this money, you're doing all these videos. You know, you want that money to be able to last you,
yeah.
You know, and that's your budget, you know, that's your money, that's your pocket money. It's like almost like insurance. You get hurt and they keep telling you to go to the doctor. Then you break off that bill that they tell you get $2 million, you get $20,000 and the rest of it went to the doctor,
yes.
And all of the, you know, chiropractors and everybody else, same thing with music.
Yes.
So, you know, you get that lump sum, you want to make sure that they are able to live off of it. Financial security is a big problem. You know, after the 10 years is up.
I want to do a seminar, and I would love for you to be a part of it, like a panel of women,
yeah.
to do that. Because
yeah.
You're teaching. I sat there in the class,
yeah.
That you taught, and you're great at it.
Thank you.
You have such a gift for that.
Thank
and
you.
I would love for you to sit there and talk to the up-and-coming ladies, even the ones that's doing it right now,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the ones that want to come up and
yeah.
Do it, just to teach them that. And I felt like that's what Cube was doping after watching Straight Outta Compton.
Yeah.
And I saw that he started to really indulge into the business
mm-hmm.
side of it. So the fact that you was attached to him,
mm-hmm. And
I'm
he
sure
really
he played a huge
yeah.
part
mm-hmm.
in that as well. Talk to me about your acting career, because I want to get into that as well. Actually, no, because we're here at Mega Average College Lips, because I just talked about how you have a gift for teaching. Talk to me exactly about what you're doing here at Mega Average.
Well, the School of Hip Hop is a performing arts school. We do arts and academics. And when school is on break, the kids come and play at the Yo-Yo School of Hip Hop. We do beat production, we do lyric writing, we do theater, vocal training, and artist development. And then during the Black College Expo college tours,
mm-hmm.
I am an ambassador. I do 2 seminars. I teach how to get A's in English through hip hop. And I just show them how to make sentences into paragraphs and paragraphs into essays.
Uh-huh. Now, one of the things that you say that's like your, what do you call it, like a motto?
Mm-hmm.
How do
you
say it?
You make a statement and you back it up.
You
make a statement and you back it up. You do what? You do what? You make a statement and you back it up. You make a statement and you.
So that's basically how you break down, how you write your lyrics and you implement that into everyday
yeah.
English life.
Yeah, well, you know, kids, what I've learned is, you
love
know,
it, by the way. Now you're going to have it stuck in my head.
I know, right?
That's a life rule right there, I feel. You said, you make a statement and you back it up. So if I say I'm going to do something,
right.
I'm going to do it.
You got to do it.
And in writing, if I make a comment, if I make a statement, then you back it up with all the information.
Yeah, especially the difference between writing and speaking is, speaking, you don't have to back up anything.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you information and I can just let it fly off the handle. But when you're writing it,
uh-huh.
you have to show proof.
Okay. Now, on the show, I do like to talk about like some of the urban myths because of what happened back in the day.
Okay.
And since you lived it,
okay,
I would love to know as a fan all the things that was like happening back
okay.
then. So I was online, and I feel like a lot of people leave you out of this. And I heard that Demetrius Chip Jr. was here. He the one that played Tupac on.
Oh yes, he's here. Yeah.
I haven't seen him yet.
Yeah.
But it's been known that you and Tupac dated.
Yes.
Back in the day.
Right.
Now, why do you feel that they don't ever mention that as often as they do with like some of his friends that they always connect him with? Because once I did my research, y'all were really close, and it was really obvious.
Mm-hmm.
So why do you feel like that's kind of left out of the legacy of Tupac, you guys' relationship?
I have no idea. I mean, you know, I don't know. I think people mention it. I just think, you know, when they're doing the movie, it was probably hard. He did have a great relationship with Jada, so
right.
they probably wanted to probably, you know, when you're creating a storyline. And then he had so many other women that, you know, probably they, you know, didn't want to mention. If they brought one in, they probably have to bring them all in.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea, but, you know, I was kind of happy they didn't.
Why?
Because, you know,
your friendship seemed to be very, like, tight-knit. Like,
yeah,
really,
I mean, because it's a very sensitive matter to me, too.
Oh,
so,
okay.
No, I'm just saying,
yeah.
So it was very sensitive to me. So, you know, the life of death of Pac was really, you know, yeah, really hard for me to even deal with. Even when I watched the movie, I went to the screening and watched it. I had to leave at a certain part of the movie because it was just like, wow, you know, because we were great friends. And I think we were better friends than we were lovers, you
mm-hmm.
know. But we were friends.
How did you meet him?
We met, we were actually on the road together. We you know, he was a roadie. He was out with Digital Underground, and we were on tour, and he and I would talk about everything, and he was just, you know, he was just a very, he was a lover. He was romantic. He would write letters, and, you know, we would sit and talk, and we'd take walks, and, you know, he, we could talk about his life. He had a lot of issues with his, you know, of course, his mom, right, and growing up, and, you know, he had high expectations, you know, and he was militant, and,
yes,
you know, very attractive to me. He was a dope artist, and, you know, I was attracted to him because of his art, actually.
Yeah.
And then we became friends. So
what is your fondest memories of Tupac and you guys?
Oh, God, my fondest memory is, you know, just...
That no one knows. Because I feel like there's a lot of stories out there, and I feel like it's starting to become redundant when it comes to Pac. And me being a huge fan of hip-hop, of course, but being a huge fan of Pac. Yeah. I'm like, what? How was he? What was, like, a moment where it's like, I don't think a lot of people know this about Pac?
Well, you know, everybody pretty much, they've kind of, you know... taking him in and out, but you know, he was just...
And you don't get the chance to really tell your story and your relationship with
you know,
him.
But
so
was
what
just,
was it that you two had that you was like, I don't even know, we...
Well, no, you know, we
that
were
you could share.
Yeah, well, we were just great, you know, we were just great friends.
Uh-huh.
We had the best relationship. I mean, without speaking, we understood each other, you know? And even to his death, you know, we when I saw him on the bed, you know, I could just look in his eyes, and we were talking, and we just had a great relationship. It's so sad that, you know, so young and so talented.
Now you were there
that
the,
he
like,
had to
the,
die.
The,
yeah.
The last time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that
shot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now is it true? Now the urban myth was that his mother called you,
mm-hmm,
and let you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that is true.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So when you saw him,
that he passed away?
Yes.
His sister called me and told me that he passed away.
So it wasn't his mother?
Yes. Right. Yeah, I thought for sure he was going to pull through.
And I was looking at, I don't know if you saw it, but it just aired the other day.
Oxygen?
No.
Oh, I didn't see it, though. No.
With Ice-T.
Yeah, and they interviewed Suge, and
mm-hmm,
Suge said that, you know, he could have been alive. He's still alive?
Yes. What are your thoughts on that?
Pakistan.
Okay. Well, that wasn't really the question, but I mean, I like that you did touch on that because I would love to know your input on that. You know why he said that, though? Because he's saying the same thing that you just said now. When you saw him right before his passing, he seemed fine. So to get the call that he passed,
you know,
was that pretty shocking to you? Because it seemed like he was going to pull through.
Yeah, and I have my myth to that, too.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, He was wounded. You know,
mm-hmm,
Pop was wounded. You know. Yeah, he was wounded. I did think he was gonna make it. It was just so much that happened that day. It's just, you know, it's just so crazy.
Do you remember the last thing he told you before you left the hospital?
He told me, don't leave.
Don't leave. And I'm assuming that doctors were just telling y'all to go and they had to...
No, they had security. Suge and them had security in the room. They actually asked us to leave.
Oh. And no excuse as to why. Just...
Well, that's when Pac said, no, don't leave. He said, And I screamed out loud, he don't want us to go. Because Kadada and I were in the room at the same time. And I said, he don't want us to leave. And the guy was like, well, I'm going to give you guys 10 more minutes. You know, and there was no doctors in there checking on him. It was only security that was in another room who came through. There's no doctors.
Was he able to verbalize? Was he able to talk?
Mm-hmm. No, he wasn't talking. He had glue around his eyes. His head was really big. Mm-hmm.
He could see. He saw you, though. He said glue. Okay.
Like the white stuff circling around your eyes.
Oh, okay. So he couldn't see you.
Well,
he
we could see each other.
Oh,
I mean,
okay.
We looked at each other's eyes, but you know, you have that white stuff where your brow is. It's all just... You know, so you know.
Anything you wish you could have said to him before you left when he said don't leave? Oh, what was the last thing?
I wish I could have asked him, was he scared? Like, is it something going on that, is there a reason why you don't want me to leave? Like, are you okay? Is, you know,
mm-hmm,
you know, is something going on that I don't know about? He was talking to me.
He was talking.
He was talking to me with his eyes. I was asking him questions. He was just like, you know, and I was like, are you okay? Do you know who did this to you? And he was like, you know, he said yes, and then he said no.
Mm.
And I was, you know, for,
so he
for
couldn't
many
talk.
Years,
he
I thought, yes, he was just gesturing. And
For many years, you felt he knew who did it? Who shot him?
No, I don't think he knows who shot him. Oh, I just think some other stuff happened that he thought he would have liked to say.
Yeah.
I don't think it had anything to do with the shooting, actually, but he probably wanted to say something else. I don't know what it was.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing that, honestly. I mean, because that's his last moments that you were there. So I do want to touch on another urban myth, because I was looking on the internet and I saw that they said it was reenacted in the film Straight Outta Compton, and Eazy-E got the lynch mob jump. Was it in the mall?
Oh, I have no idea.
Okay, see, you were supposed to be there. And I was like, well, okay, this was the story. Money B allegedly told someone who was on YouTube, and he made a video about it, and mm-hmm. said that Eazy-E was trying to get Ice Cube and Lynch Mob jumped in the mall. Mm. And you and Tupac was there. They claimed Cube was there, but it wasn't Cube. You and Tupac was there.
Mm-mm.
No. Mm-hmm. And it was that Tupac was trying to show out for you by trying to fight the guys to show that he was, like, tough around you.
Oh, no.
Okay, there you go.
That's what I remember. I mean, you know, my memory, people are always telling me something. Like, you don't remember that baby fell from the building and you caught it?
No.
I'm like, the baby fell from the building and I caught it? You know, so it's a lot of stuff I don't remember. So it might have happened, but I don't remember that. I've never been into an altercation with anybody.
Okay.
Never.
See, that's why I like to hear things from the horse's mouth.
Yeah, never.
There you go.
Yeah,
there you go. Now, talk to me about the patch of video, romantic call.
Romantic.
That was so iconic.
I love Patra. I know Patra's in Jamaica. I think she's preaching.
Oh, look at that. Preaching and teaching.
I know, right?
Yeah.
So I reached out to Patra, but I loved doing romantic call. It was my first song Jamaican really introduction, because mm-hmm. you know, West Coast, we didn't listen to too much Jamaican, so.
Right, not as much as they do here on the East.
Not as much as they do on the East. Now I'm a fanatic.
Are you?
Yes.
I
play Alpha Line all day.
Look at that. Now, how was Pac? How did that happen with him being in the video?
I know, well, you know, we were friends, and so mm-hmm. What's her name put us together? The rep, Patra's rep, mm-hmm. called me in. And I did it, and we got Pac to come in and do the video.
Oh, okay. I feel like in that video, I could see the affection.
Anytime we were around each other, you could see it. I mean, we really grew to have a brother and sister kind of relationship, though, because, you know, after a while.
Brother and sister?
Yeah, we really.
With the intimacy and everything involved?
Well, because I could call him. I mean, you know, mm-hmm. I can call him and tell him anything, you know. I can call him and tell him, just stop it. You know, you look stupid.
Really?
Right. And he would say, shut up. You ought to put your ass out. So we had a brother and sister relationship. Yeah. Once we weren't dating anymore, we were just good friends, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Now, I have to talk about Key Lolo and your iconic character in the show Martin.
Right.
Now I need to know, how did that become into fruition? How the hell did you get that part?
No,
by the way, girl, loved it. Like, that character, it's like everything to me and my friends.
Oh, God. Yes. Key Lolo, I didn't never know that Key Lolo was going to be so popular. So Martin did some work on the Yo-Yo album. Q brought him in to do some interlude.
What work?
Oh, goodness. He did, was it my first album?
Okay.
First album or second album? I forget. He came in and he did the interludes. He told me about that he was coming out with this show called Martin.
Now, working on the album, how did that happen?
Yeah, with Ice Cube. Ice Cube brought him in.
Got it.
Ice Cube brought him in, and he told me that he has a show called Martin, mm-hmm. and he has a character named Shanae, and that he wanted me to be Shanae's homegirl, best friend, Key Lolo.
He had it all laid out for you.
And a year or so later, I get a call from Warner Brothers, and they tell me about it. I go in, and I'm thinking I'm about to audition for the part. And they said, oh, no, you already have the part.
Yes, Ryan, give it up. No audition.
No audition.
Martin was already out too, right?
No. It was in the
couple
beginning.
Seasons.
Mm-hmm,
okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so I became a recurring character.
Talk to me about being on set, working with Martin and Shanae.
Martin is the craziest, most hilarious dude you could ever work with.
Yes.
He always will fly off the handle with everything he said. I mean,
you
know, he had the press on nails. So it was all, every time, you know, he was in character, I'd always die laughing. I could never not do one take because I'd watching him act and he'd just do stupid stuff. And then, you know, we'd film like four shows in a day. So, you know, he'd go into that to, you know, the little snotty-nosed boy that's walking in, you know, so.
And you're watching all of that transform.
But, you know, just really learning, you know. He really brought me in. He kept his word. And not only that, he brought me in on what, A Thin Line Between Love and Hate, which he actually got sick on. So my part never made it in.
Oh, I was gonna say.
But contractually, I still get paid for that. You know,
Residuals?
Residuals for a part that I never even played.
What part was that? What did we miss out on?
Never even played it.
Never even played it.
But it was,
what was it supposed to be?
I can't even remember.
Damn.
But guess what? Isn't that crazy?
Yes.
I still get paid for A Thin Line Between Love and Hate, a movie I wasn't in, but contractually I was supposed to be in it. So.
And you don't remember what role you had.
I don't remember what role, but he looked out for, you know, he looked out for me. And that's just, you know, having a great relationship.
How are you with him now? I know they just honored him in VH1 Hip Hop.
I know. You know what? I'm always working. I see him. You know, I give him mad love every time I see him.
When was the last time you seen him? In my head, all y'all is cool. In my head,
I ran into him. I ran into him at the Star when Q got a Star.
Oh, okay.
Walk of Fame. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Do you have a favorite episode that you did? Because you were in a lot.
Oh my goodness.
And you were some of the best. Best was the one from the talent show.
The talent show has to be the best.
Is it?
Talent show has to be the best. And all of them before, when I first started doing them, I could never watch myself doing them because I was so stupid and I really wasn't a great actress. You know what I mean?
Limba Chicken Chamin, Mkhetwa, aka Big Wara.
Yo, it's Big Fred, aka Ntate Thusiwadi Podcast.
Kiki Tubafetu, and we are the Sobering Podcast.
Tune in to us every second Wednesday for fire conversations and interviews about South African music, sneakers, and street culture.
Check us out on the Revolt Podcast Network.
Shout out to our moms.
It was just like you was thrown into a gig, you know, so I never really had to prep for it. I was just thrown in. So.
Did you have lines or was it more improv?
No, you had lines. So, you know.
You didn't think it was a great act? I thought you did great.
Now I like it, but, you know, I was young.
It was hard for you to watch.
It was hard for me to just act that stupid in front of people.
I love the Kiki Lolo character was ratchet, but not as ratchet as Shanaynay.
Shanaynay was so, I wish I could have been more ratchet because now that when you come from the hood, you don't really know how to play the hood, but you are. So you didn't know how to really put the extras on it.
Right.
You know, because you was thinking, you know, we were already hip hop, they was hating hip hop, and then here we are playing these stereotypes. Right. Yeah. And so it was hard for me to really get into it without thinking blackface at first.
Because you're so, even with the Women Black,
Intelligent Black Women's Coalition.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, it was just so hard for me to do it because at that time, it was just so much, when I realized, when people used to say, is hip hop here to stay? And, you know, do you feel like you're a role model? What about the men calling women bitches? Right. You know, you had all these interviews all the time, and then to get a character where you just playing, it was almost like I knew, you know, it was almost like you didn't want to, I didn't know how to take it in at that time. So now I can watch it, laugh, and love it. You know, kids don't even know me for Yo-Yo. They know me for Key Lolo. So, you know.
Yeah, because it still plays.
I know. So, I'm happy. And now I'm able to watch it and really appreciate the work that we did.
Yes. Now, do you remember the flow and the talent show?
Don't nobody know me like my homie, so open up that phony. Shanaynay ain't halfway phony. Don't be trying to trick if you ain't rich. Shanaynay ain't no trick.
You better have a grip.
And if you ain't got no rims on that hoopty, don't be trying to scoop me.
Golly,
just let a sister be. You want some?
Hey, you can't get none.
I love her.
You have no idea how much I
I love you. I have to show you the promo that I did for this, and I pretty much used all my favorite hip hop lines from all my favorite female rappers, and Don't Blame My Yo-Yo is definitely up there. So you can see that. Now on the show, unfortunately, it ended early to me. Don't you feel like it did?
It really did, yes.
And for whatever reason, and it was always put out there that it was like between, I was gonna say Gina, mm-hmm. Tisha Campbell, and Martin.
Yeah, I heard that too. And I
did
never
you notice knew. Any tension
mm-hmm.
on
no,
set?
No, I didn't know. Never. They always had great relationship.
Yeah.
So when I heard that that was the reason why it ended, I couldn't believe it as well. But you know, as a woman, you say, well, if you feel like, you know, if you feel like you've been taken advantage of, then, you know, you have to say something. I didn't see any of that. I mean, you know, mm-hmm. I've seen lip-to-lip kisses and the hugs and the, I just thought it was like, wow.
And character, though.
Right, yeah, that they really could be, you know, they've made a great couple on television.
Yes.
So I, you know, I was shocked just like everyone else was when I heard it and really never really spoke about it with, Tisha or Martin for that matter, because, you know, it was so sensitive and, you know, in the beginning we were all mad that it happened. Like,
yeah.
You know, it was like, wow, it's over.
Yeah.
You know, it's over.
Yeah. So, and you also played in Boys in the Hood in Minister Society.
Right. And all of those roles I walked in on and did not have to audition. And
girl, you blessed.
Walking in on stuff.
Why do you think that's the case?
Well, hip-hop was, it was that merge where a lot of film, because they were doing so many urban movies mm-hmm. and trying to mirror what was going on in the community, that it had to have a little bit of hip-hop because hip-hop was a part of that. And once they did that big one with Ice Cube, it just really kept going. And a lot of the guys who were making those movies at the time were also doing the artist videos. Uh-huh. So they were creating relationships and telling them the same story. Hey, got this movie coming out. Why don't you come through? You know, and it was making them, their project even bigger to have a hit artist.
Yeah.
So
now this part, we're going to end it with the confessional. So I'm just going to ask a bunch of questions and you can just end it with a one word.
Okay.
Now, do you have a favorite female artist out now? If so, who?
Nicki Minaj.
Nicki? Favorite song from a female rapper ever outside of
favorite
yourself.
Song from a fave for
from a female rapper.
From a female MC Light.
Which one?
Roughneck.
Yes. Oh, that's on mine too, right along with yours.
but our Ladies Night. I like Ladies Night too.
Ladies Night?
With Kim. Angie, Kim, Missy.
She played up. Girl, you played. That was my question. Uh-huh. If you was to do Ladies Night remix, yes. And I always ask this with all the female rappers that come on the show. If you had your version, who would be on your list to do that record?
Who would be on my list? I would just add myself to their list.
Keep
it how it was. Add myself. I would probably also add, I think Eve wasn't in there. Mm-hmm. I'd add Eve in there. I love Eve. Mm.
Do you have a top favorite female rappers of all time?
Of all time, my top female rapper is MC Lyte.
Top five.
Top five.
So she's number one. Missy, doesn't have to be in order, but I'll take
Missy, Lauren. Mm-hmm. Oh, wait. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, Lauren's my favorite.
Okay.
Oh, you said of today.
No. Of all time.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All Missy, time. Lauren, Lyte, Eve, of all time, Salt and Pepper. Jeez, Salt and Pepper. Is that five?
That is five.
Okay.
That is five. Now, the song Bodak Yellow, you know that went number one.
I know, yes.
How do you feel about that record?
Really?
How do you feel about Cardi and the record?
You know, I love Cardi. I love her as a personality.
Yeah.
I think she's a sweetheart. I thought the song was a joke when I first heard it at first.
Really?
Yeah, because it was... I didn't think it was finished, you know, because I wasn't used to girls rapping like that. You can't mess with me, it bond to for real, you know, I thought it was unfinished or that someone wrote it for her and she hadn't learned how to really
deliver it.
Mm-hmm. But then it became very catchy, all the kids were loving it, and so one day I really listened to it and I found it catchy, I found myself singing it, and then I started wanting to support her. because a lot of women don't get that support. So then I started really, you know, making an effort to support her and listening to her. And then I really started, you know, of course, I became addicted like everybody else to the song.
Yes.
Yeah, but her personality, I love watching her. You know, she reminds me of Nicki. You know, Nicki Minaj, I like her. You know, I don't like all the stuff they rap about when it comes to, just because, you know, now that I know better, of course, I'm like an old rapper now because the kids are listening. But I love her personality. I love an artist. I love artists. I mean, that's what makes me love Missy. Missy is a straight artist. I love artists. I can tell when they're artists because you can't help yourself, but, you know, you can't help the silliness. You can't help, you know, you can't help being, you can't help being extra. You can't help, you know, always, you know, moving, always, you know, you can't help it. You can't help it jumping in and out of characters and saying shit that people might think, you know, you're being funny about, but you're really not. You're just in character, you know, so I like that about them.
How do you feel about what Azalea Banks, because there was controversy with that, Azalea Banks feeling like black men don't support black women in hip hop, and she felt like because Cardi B, which is she's half Hispanic, got a hit up on like a Nicki and her for having that.
Well, you know, these guys, they really don't support women, and they really are cliquish, you know. But you know, we know that, you know, thank you. We know that men are, you know, like girls, most of them, and so, you know, they love to keep up controversy, and if you, it's very rare that you find real men that really want to help women, and not just one woman, because you know the guys are always like, yeah, shit on her, yeah, you know, you better than her, you this and you that, and they like to pin us against each other and have us go against each other, and you know, so
you didn't deal with any of that back in the day, did you? Did you feel like it was more of a camaraderie amongst women in hip-hop back then?
Yeah, we all, I mean, you know, everybody really stayed in their lane. I wish it was more of what we have. I mean, but you know, out of all the women then, we still don't have like a real sisterhood. I see Salt and Pepper and then we'll give a lot of love, but you know, we don't call each other on a daily basis, or we don't check on each other. It's not like a, hey, Salt, happy birthday, or
how was it
hey,
back then though?
I mean, it's just, you built relationships. I'm great friends with Missy. I'm great friends with Latifah. I'm great friends with Light. You know, I'm great friends with Spinderella. You know, I'm just saying, you know, so, but there is, you have to make an effort to do it. And a lot of people, you know, it's a lot of kiss ass in this industry. So a lot of people just don't want to hang around or kiss ass, you know. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the women, we have to work so hard that you don't really have time to really hang out.
And build a bond.
And build a bond, because that's, we're always on the grind, you know.
Yeah, because I find that it's really difficult for me in media.
Yeah.
I had a lot of people, well, I have a few friends that tell me, my male counterparts, I'm like, you know, get to know such and such and me to get to know and y'all can build. And I was like, trust me, I tried.
Right.
Trust me.
Right. Yeah, you try to get to know.
But I'm not like what you said earlier. Maybe I need to get out more. I don't hang out. I'm like, I really don't.
You know what I've learned? I tried to learn to invite people more.
Mm.
You know, for me on my own, you know, because I say, you know, maybe if I just start reaching out more, then I can have better relationships, because some people might not think you, you know. So if I come to town, if I, whatever town I'm in, I'll hit them up, you know, like, me and Moni Love, oh my God, we're great friends. Yeah, shout out to Moni. Like, but you know, we talk, Lady of Rage, one of my other sisters. Yes, of course, she should be on that top five too.
Yes.
You know, we're all great friends. We talk all the time, Mia X. You know, we talk all the time. We make an effort. You know, we look out for each other. Shantae, Roxanne Shantae, we make an effort. You know,
I had to be on our show.
Yeah, we make an effort to speak to each other and to stay in contact. You know, there's other ones. I reach out to artists. Which one was married to a Genuine? You know,
Soleil.
Yeah, I'm sorry. When I go to town,
she just got married.
To my boy, yes. And so I reach out to her and, you know, and say, hey, I'm coming to town. Would you like to? So now it, you know, they say, oh, I can't, but you know, thank you, Yo-Yo, for thinking about me.
Yeah.
You know, so now I'm trying, but you know,
6 years
later.
Like,
right, now you want to never. Now you want to freaking.
No, first of all, the song of Brandy, I Want to Be Down remixes, I feel like that shows that when women come together, y'all can do amazing things. And that was one of the amazing.
And that's a good thing that what Queen Latifah did when she brought us all together.
Oh, she brought all y'all together.
Yeah, well, not for that song. I mean, when she did that, we did it. They had some, award show, and then she had all the women she brought back from the
Hip Hop Honors last year.
I wish that, you know, the beef with Nicki and Kim and them, so we could have all come together, because, you know, it's easy. I mean, even though they say that Nicki didn't show the love that she should have
Kelly deserved.
To whomever, yeah. You know, like, you know,
I saw her shout her out.
It's just something that women we have to learn how to do. We have to learn to stop shitting on each other.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And even though the oldest, you know, leadership is lacking, not only in the community, but it's lacking in music, it's lacking, period. Mm-hmm. Somebody has to take the initiative to say, hey, listen, we all need to come together. So what if we all sound together? Shit, they used to think, you know, I rap, you know, they used to say, are you from the East Coast? Because, you know, maybe our styles did twang, you know what I mean? Yeah. I'm just saying, or you guys, you sound like you're from the same generation. We no one got offended by that.
Yeah, that's why I love when Remy did the Summer Jam. You weren't there, but I think she shouted you out.
Yeah, oh yeah, I was supposed to be there. Oh yeah,
and
Remy,
and
I love
something
Remy.
Happened.
Yeah, and I love Remy. How could I not put Remy on? There's so many that you forget. I know, how could I not put Remy on my top five? Huh?
It's all right.
Remy came back hard. I'm so proud of her.
Yes.
I'm so proud of her.
Look at what hip hop can do.
Yeah.
For women. Yeah.
Yeah, and she's a hard worker.
And just, she did bid and be able to come out and still.
And still,
spring.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to end this with my two more questions. Okay. One is a personal one for me.
Okay.
Was Tupac a great kisser?
And a great lover.
Was he?
Oh my God.
So selfish. That was just my personal. Because in my head, that's my husband.
Oh
girl.
My God. So,
I envy you. Oh, so anyways. Was he a great lover?
He was a great lover.
Really?
Yes.
What made it great? Was he just passionate? Like, what made it great?
He was packed and passionate.
Packing. What is packing? Because some people say, you know, A is too short, nine is
a hot mess, huh? Don't you a hot mess?
Like nine and above?
I'm gonna
please
you.
Good one, good time. Packaging it is a good enough word for me to sum that up. Okay, that's the word for me for the end of the day. Now, if we can, please, if you can, give me one word to describe where you are in life right now. Everything that you did from the beginning in life and your career, being here in Brooklyn, teaching the kids about the importance of hip hop and implementing that into education. Where are you in life right now? You can sum it up in one word.
In one word, I'm committed.
Committed. Thank you, Yo-Yo, for doing this interview. It's been an honor. And don't forget to follow Yo-Yo where on your social media.
Yo-Yo Fearless on social media, on all social media, Yo-Yo Fearless.
And to the Black Expo College Tour, you gotta check her out.
Yes.
She's gonna be hitting the college near you.
Yep, I'm gonna be hitting it. Yeah, there's a list if you go to blackcollegeexpo.com. You can get a list of all of the cities that we'll be hitting.
And this is it for your girl, Jazzy Bell, Woman in Hip Hop Podcast. I'll see y'all later.
Ooh.
Bye. I love it.
All right, you guys, I hope you enjoyed the interview. Shout out to Yo-Yo for coming through to Women in Hip Hop Podcast. So moving forward, what I will be doing, you guys, is playing the record that each guest says is their favorite hip hop record from a female artist. So today, I will be playing MC Lyte, Roughneck. And this is what Yo-Yo said is her favorite female hip hop record ever, outside of hers, of course. So y'all stay tuned to Woman in Hip Hop Podcast and enjoy.
Lie about the light, how we those who are wrong for the light. I love my rough neck and ain't nothing going down or going up if my rough neck ain't in town.
Hey there, ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah, or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities, from the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front row. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.